You're listening to Seismic Radio, and thank you for tuning in to our broadcast here. We've got our broadcast from Swanwick, Derbyshire, the Vision in Action conference, live conference, which took place from the 31st of October to the 2nd of November. Okay, the next broadcast from that conference is the last one we recorded. We were only there on Saturday, so that is the 1st of November. And that was the last session. That was the session in the evening, which is coming now. And it was Phil Collins talking about freedom and emotional healing in Christ. Very interesting talk. Phil goes in, just to give you a short run-up, Phil is about 50 years old. I hope I got this right, not to offend him in any way, but he is based in Canada, but he's originally from Great Britain, from the UK, and he's pastoring a church in Canada, somewhere towards the western end of Canada. And it's actually quite an interesting story as he talks about his background. Now, his background wasn't Christian in any way. Talks a little bit about it. Talks about the atheist, almost anti-Christian background his whole family is coming from, and him breaking out and embracing Christ as a teenager. So just stay tuned. Should be an interesting talk. The talk is about 1 hour long, very, very interesting indeed. Now, quickly, what VIA is. VIA stands for Vision in Action. It's a connection of churches in the Midlands in the UK. Another network is Pioneer, which covers pretty much the south of England. And at this conference, you find that a lot of church leaders are getting together, and they are, you know, just taking some time out to really look at the Word of God and look at what God is saying to them in the current age and in the current time. So stay tuned and enjoy the talks. If you would like to listen to the other talks from Saturday, we've got a few more talks recorded and also made available online. You can do this at www.seismicradio.org. Go to the website. If you scroll down on the right-hand side, you see a little icon for library. Click on the library, then click on John Noble's library, and you find it pretty much at the bottom of the list. So if you would like to listen to the other talks as well, please go for it and make the best of it. You're listening to Seismic Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and I hope you do enjoy the talk indeed. And over to the conference.
Just do what he wants to do, and guess what? We're going to make him make room for him, because that's what VIA does. We make room for God to move in the house. But now we're going to make room for Phil Collins, and that is God speaking through Phil Collins to move in the house. Come over here, Phil. Reach your hands out.
Okay, give him a round of applause. Give him a round of applause. You know, he gets a bit sensitive if only two people clap.
Reach your hands out. James. Pray for him. Oh. We may get nothing out of you after this prayer, but there you go. Come on, reach your hands out, guys.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the gift we have in Phil. For the gift we have is a gift to the body of Christ in this nation, in Canada, and all over the world. And Father, we ask that you use your servant, speak through him, teach through him, rebuke through him, correct through him, admonish through him. Father, we ask that not only shall we hear what we are needing to do your work in our different stations, but we shall also receive an impartation. As he speaks, release strength and power and courage and wisdom to us, for us to go and to do what you want us to do. We desire to know you. And so, Father, we pray that let us hear way beyond what he speaks. Let us hear you, your voice. Let us receive you, Father, and bless him, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Just a quick announcement. I promised you the papers. They're the papers. And there's 12 copies or so there. If leaders from each church can come and grab one, I'll put them over. James, would you put them over there on the side on the floor for me, please?
Simon, thank you. Oh, hallelujah. His presence is lovely here this evening, isn't it? Thank you, Simon. Do you know what I'm preaching on this evening, Simon? No idea.
Not a clue.
Well, I'm preaching on freedom and healing of the emotions. And well done. I had five subjects that I could have preached on, but I wanted to preach on this evening. So I think we're in the spirit. So make sure you've got your notepads and pens ready, not because of necessarily the theology that I'm going to preach and you want to take copious notes and go for it because I'm such a theological wonder, but because the Holy Spirit will come on you and will pinpoint what you're going to be healed of tonight. Amen. Seem a little quiet there.
Amen.
See, what I discovered is that many Christians don't want freedom. Because we do something. Do you know what we do? We manage our sin. We manage our sin. We don't seek freedom from our sin. And that is a danger of the Western church. So I'm blessed by this and encouraged. And I just want to mention a couple of things. I've got a friend of mine here, Mark Ritchie, who's just come to say hello, hang out. Mark, stand up. And he's... many of you may have heard of Mark. Preaches regularly at Soul Survivor, Spring Harvest, National Evangelist. Just finished a 9-day mission in Watford. Saw 200 people give their lives to Christ. Fabulous. Stunning communicator. And when I was a youth evangelist, he was a youth evangelist. We used to meet regularly to go and walk and pray about the nation. And he heard I was in the country and drove up from Nottingham just to hang out. So thank you, Mark, and for being part of us. Where are we going to start? Well, John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son has set you free, you are truly free. We know that in many different ways, and we've preached it in many different ways. And what I want to ask you a question as we start to look at this. So if the Son has set you free, you are truly free. I have been disappointed in the power of the gospel in my life. I've been disappointed with what has taken place. Because the gospel tells me that when I come to Christ, I am a new creature and I am transformed. The gospel tells me that I am to preach the good news of Isaiah 61 that says, proclaim good news to the poor, freedom to the captive, release to the prisoner. For those that mourn, there shall be healing. For those that have got a broken heart, they shall be healed. You know the scriptures. And yet what I see so often is a disconnection between what it says on the tin and what it does in reality. And the question I've often asked myself is the power of the cross powerful and can it truly free us? The answer is yes, by the way. The reality is this, is that we live in a church that has forgotten the power and the freedom that comes through the anointing of Christ and through the work of the cross to free us from all things. And so does the gospel work? Well, I think it does. And I think we need to start to lean in once again and understand that the gospel really does work in power and strength. And that I've been on this kind of journey as we've talked about 8 principles when I've only dealt with 3 of them. One of these renewal practices that I'm trying to build into every layer of every church, of everything that we're involved in the church renewal network that we're building is the power of confessing our sins and receiving inner healing in our lives. You see, the reality is that we are all wounded inside. I said to a group of our young adults, I was discipling them in how to hear God, and I talked to them about the need for healing in life. And I said, do you young adults believe in the power and the reality of the need to be healed within your own life? One girl said, yeah, of course. I said, why? She said, because life damages me. And when life damages me, I need to be able to come to Christ to find healing for the damage in my life. And the truth is that somewhere along the line, we have forgotten that we are damaged in this war. We are damaged in this life. It is tough and it is hard. And I want to talk about the wounds that you and I receive inside. Because when we receive healing, we are able to minister healing to many others. And God is calling you as a church and as a generation to rise up once again with the belief in the healing, freeing power of God's Spirit, that He can free our people and free our nation. And it takes a church that believes this. Amen. But not just believes it. It's not about one man. It's not about the anointed one. It's about the body of Christ functioning in the freeing power, living in the power of healing and confession and forgiveness. And this liberates the body of Christ to do the most amazing things. So we're wounded inside. Our wills don't always have the power to change. Our minds are confused. Our emotions enslave us. And we are strangely moved by unreasoning impulses within our character that we've never got a hold of. Oh, I hear of stories. People in leadership who are dysfunctional in different areas. People that have been members of the church for 20 years but never been able to deal with the anger problem in their lives. People in our churches that stand up and speak or lead worship and yet their character is weak and they've never found freedom in areas. Christ wants a church that is healed. I also discovered there really is an evil outside of us. As Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers. Can I remind you, there's a struggle within and there's a struggle outside that is at work. And Paul complains similarly in Romans 7:14, chapter 7, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. How many of you have lived there? That what we hate, we do. I'm spirit filled. I speak in tongues. I can bring prophetic words. I can move in God's power. I can see. But I hate this problem that I have because I've never been able to shake it in my life. And yet if the Son has set you free, you are what? Free indeed. And I guess the journey that I've been on in my own journey is to understand this. Where we are we to conclude that a certain number of people in our congregations are hopeless? Are we can conclude that there are a percentage of Christians that will never find freedom, as it were? Should we just learn to accept their condition and endure the difficulty in their families, in their relationships, in their lives, and that their life will be tested with much unhappiness because they will never find freedom? Are we to accept that upon our congregations? And the answer that we're hearing on the prairies and across Canada is no. We have full evangelical churches. We have 13% attending church in my own town. But you know what? There are Christians that have attended church all their lives, but they've never found freedom in Jesus. Said this at one pastor's conference I was leading. An 86-year-old pastor came up to me. He grabbed my hand and he started to say, "Can I tell you something?" He said, "That church," and he named the church, "I was once the pastor there, and they dismissed me. I heard that they went through a difficult time. I heard that their congregation went from several thousand to several hundred. They're now having a better time and they're growing again and great things are happening and I've been back." And he looked me in the eyes and the truth is, he said, "When I heard that they had gone to a small congregation, in my heart I rejoiced because I was vindicated." And he said, "I want to confess to you now that I carried bitterness and pain in my heart for all those years." 86 years old. I said, "How old were you when you pastored that church?" He said, "I was 35. We can carry bitterness. We can carry areas of our life that we shut out, we don't let God in, we're not willing for God to work and live. But the good news is this, is that Christ wants to set us free. We've been running healing weekends. And they've been pretty straightforward, quite systematic, working through inventories, looking at areas of our character, looking at areas of our impurity and our sexuality and who we are and the things we struggle with, looking at areas of light to darkness and all the occult influences in our lives, looking at areas of inner healing of wounds that we've got, and talking about the power of the cross, praying in small groups of three. Not counseling, just confessing, I have a problem with anger and I want to bring that to the foot of cross. And if there is any stronghold and bondage, I want the Lord to take that away. And in front of you too, I confess this. And they administer the power of forgiveness and healing. And suddenly we're seeing people healed and delivered all over the place. Just this last time I ran this in July, a girl came to me. And they said she's come particularly for this. She's been in the occult. She's raised a Christian. She became rebellious, angry. She lost her way, got involved in drugs. And they said, when we come to this part of the teaching, will you sit down with this one of our ladies and will you lead her through the renouncing and the breaking? Because she can tick just about every occult activity on the list. And she could. And as we were sat there, we went through the list, a Ouija board. We talked about horoscopes. We talked about just the tarot. We talked about all of these dark areas. And we talked about her contacting spirits, going into an old abandoned basement in an old hospital that was for people suffering with mental health issues, and going into there and holding ceremonies and so on. And we went through all of the stuff, just one by one, breaking the legal license of the enemy, breaking. And we did that, and she was feeling all of this. And I said, what about this? And I said, now, where was the moment? What was the beginning of what changed all of this, that you know that God's telling you, we've done all of these things, but what is the Lord saying to you now? Listen to his voice. What do we have to break? She said, I was in the basement, the sanatorium. I was lighting candles and I called on the spirits to appear. And she said, as I breathed in for a moment, a coldness came into my body and it filled the inner part of me. And she said that from that day on to this day, that coldness has been inside of me. I said, do you feel it right now? She said, yes, I do. I said, well, we're going to take Jesus to that moment. And we're going to renounce it, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to work. So we just did what we should do naturally, gently, beautifully, started to renounce it. We invited Jesus into that moment in time and history, into that dark basement where the demonic grabbed hold of this girl that caused her to enter a life of drug abuse and pain and agony. And she said that, and then we said, and now we rebuke that coldness and the powers of darkness that took hold of you, and we just simply administer the power of the cross and the freedom of Jesus now in the name of Jesus. She said, whoa! She looked at me and I looked at her and we looked at each other, and her dark gothic makeup was running. And she started to cry. I said, what's going on? Because we want to know what's going on. And she said, for the first time in 4 years, I have felt a warmth descend in my body and the coldness has left me. Gone. You know, that was such a simple process. It was about naming what Strong Goals could be. It was about using a card and ticking it off. It was about sitting down and renouncing. It was about inviting Jesus into that basement, and Jesus delivered her and freed her. She was in a church on Sunday morning in one of our church plants, and she testified that on Saturday afternoon, she was utterly delivered from a coldness and a freezing heart, and God had freed her and her boyfriend, and God had set them free. Why do I tell you that? Well, I tell you that very simply because we are in danger of forgetting that Christ sets people free. It's not rocket science. Oh, yes, we can go to Ella Grange. I'm not knocking Ella Grange. Maybe a little bit. And you can go to every weekend. You can do all the teaching. I've done it. I used to send people off. We can get binders this high. And somehow we can spend loads of thousands of pounds on retreat. And at the end of it, yes, we're free. But let me tell you something. I have seen this for 2.5 years. That the same Christ that frees us on long weekends with endless binders can free you in a weekend and can deal with 80% of your pain and your difficulties. Because that's the power of the cross. And what we've got to do is take the healing ministry of what we've talked about and the forgiveness ministry and the confession, and we've got to take it off the experts and give it back to the congregation. That you can be free. That you can move in freedom. That God can use you. You see, confession, forgiveness, release is not something for the specialist. It is something that is a gift in the atonement that comes through the power of the cross. Amen. And I want to encourage you in this. You say, but you know, yeah, gothic girl, drug user, running around in the basement. That's, yeah. This whole healing ministry started with one moment. A married couple came into my office. Teachers. Respected. The perfect Christian couple. Two kids. Two canoes. Off they go camping. Gorgeous people. Well educated. Kids at university. They teach in the teaching system, well respected and well known. They've been raised in the largest church in Western Canada. They've been part of being brought up in an evangelical heritage that goes back generations. And she sits there in front of me and says, but the truth is, at the end of school, for the summer holidays, I've gone through 5 summer holidays full of anxiety, fear, pain and worry because I am so full of anxiety about preparing for the autumn that I never enjoy my summers. I said, that's a long time. And nobody would ever guess it because you look like the perfect evangelical couple. I said, what does it look like? She said, it's just agony and pain. And I said, all right. I said, well, what is the root of this? What is the lie? And I said, I see like an elastic band wrapped around your heart. They never experienced anything like this before. Let's let Jesus heal it. Fast forward 2.5 years. That couple now lead our follow-up healing ministry from all of our retreats. They do listening prayer, and she has traveled through 2 summers, and the anxiety is gone, and she is free in Christ Jesus. Her husband is free. She is free. Let me tell you, generations of evangelicals are bound by pain and by fear and by agony, and they've never heard the gospel, that the gospel that brings freedom. So I discovered that when I applied some of these prayer techniques, great things started to happen to people's lives. It's nothing new. Christine wrote a book about it, about breaking curses. It's just that we always looked to 1 or 2 people to do it rather than sitting down together and learning the techniques or the principles or the beliefs that we can do that. I discovered that Jesus came not only to make payment for our sins, but also to free us from the effects of sin. We know that we have personal sins and that we need to be forgiven. We know that. But sin is also a power that controls us. And the one thing that we forgot to talk about in our churches these days is the power of sin that controls us. And I know it's become a little bit old-fashioned, and sometimes it sounds a little bit uncool, I know. But the truth is, sin does control me. And if pastors and leaders don't lead the way in confessing their sins and finding freedom in their lives, how will our congregations get freedom? What was the last thing you were freed from, church leader? What was the last area you were healed from? Because if you haven't been touched by the healing power of God in the last couple of months, there is something wrong. Because like the 18-year-old girl, we all get damaged. And we can store up that unforgiveness. We can store up that bitterness. Because sin controls us. By the power of the Spirit, Jesus was able to free people. We know that. In fact, when you do a study of it, whenever people were oppressed by the devil, there was 100% success rate in the ministry of Jesus. Every time. That where there is bondage and strongholds and spiritual attack, there is 100% success rate in the ministry of the apostles and now in the ministry of the church. But we've forgotten the authority and the power that is in Christ Jesus. And we're not seeing the freedom and the healing. We're tiptoeing around the issues. But God is moving again. He's reminding us in this gospel age that the cross brings healing into broken lives. And there is no reason to be disappointed. And this is the power to free and to heal was passed on to the church. First to the 12, then to the 72, then to the whole church. So we've got to start to think about a spiritual wholeness. God expects holiness amongst his people. He does expect it. I am more holy and more close to Jesus and more free than I've ever been in my whole life. There was a time when I might even resist hearing a preacher like me. There was a time when I would be too cool for school and maybe just step back, I'd admit to you. There's a time that when they talked about God healing the wounds of your past, I'd smile nicely. And I wasn't willing to deal with my own junk. But there was a lady that taught me how to deal with my own junk and my own darkness. And through the darkest time of my years, when I was 25 years old, one lady spoke to me every 2 weeks for 18 months and talked about the freedom and the grace and the love of Jesus that brings freedom. And that lady was Christine Noble that saved my ministry. Do you remember that? Yeah. 18 months, twice, every 2 weeks, I'd call her up. Remember that, John? And she'd just talk to me. She'd talk to me. And she'd believe that freedom, that God's love, that God hadn't finished with me, that God was with me. It's beautiful. It was beautiful. A victim of other circumstances, of other people. But somebody believed in the freeing, healing power of Christ. Spiritual wholeness. But 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." There's a beauty in holiness. There's a freedom in holiness. That when Christ has set us free from the things that haunt us, the things that hold us back, where does it start? Well, it starts with being honest about the footholds and the strongholds in our lives. See, the one thing that we're experiencing in our little movement of network now is that what we're saying is you're only in the network, in the movement, pastor, senior pastor, if you have experienced the freeing power of Christ from strongholds, if you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, if you are experiencing in your life an openness to find the transforming inner power of Christ to transform your inner man. God is looking for not dysfunctional leaders. God is looking for leaders who are free. And we've got to be strong enough to say, I am dysfunctional. I am dysfunctional. And I've needed to be freed. See, let's be honest. So let me ask you a question as you got your pens and papers out. What foothold, what stronghold is holding you now? Maybe the Holy Spirit will drop it right now and you write that. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a what? Foothold. Foothold. Ephesians 4:26. Once he has a little bit of territory in your life, he tries to build controlling strongholds. Little bit of territory. A little way in. A little bit in your life. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power for the demolish of strongholds. What strongholds? Is it possible that a pastor, that you and I can even have strongholds in our life now? That those strongholds are holding you? That those strongholds are there? Therefore, what weapon? When was the last time you ever heard anybody preach on, these are the weapons to bring down the strongholds? Why aren't we teaching our people about the weapons to bring down the strongholds? We've forgotten how to teach about the weapons because God has given us weapons. It says this. So what are the weapons? Are they mysterious? Are we Gnostics? That there's some kind of inner mystery that you have to get into and eventually you'll join us on the front row and you will have the glory of the Lord and you too can have the inner mystery to be free? No, it's true. The weapons of our war are there and they are there. And it's the power of forgiveness. It's the power of confession. It's believing in deliverance and it's believing in the power of the cross to set you free. They're no mysteries. We've just got to apply them to our lives. So what are we going to do? What foothold are we going to have? What foothold grabs hold of us? See, I often say to my Canadians, third generation, fourth generation Bible-believing Christians that come from the prairies, that they are blessed and they don't have to talk about generational issues. They don't have to talk about this bondage because they've had praying great-grandmas. I didn't have a praying great-grandma. My great-grandma was horrible, you know? I didn't have all of this. I'm a fourth generation son of a high worshipful Mason. I am from a line of Masons. I am from Worcestershire Masonic stock. That's who I am from. I am as bound up and as demonized as a witch doctor from Uganda when I got saved. I may be in the West, but I was from the wilds of Worcestershire where our idols were the money we made, the cars we drove, and the Masonic lodges that we were part of, and the lies that we believed, and the infidelities in our families, and the generations of depression, the generations of abuse, and they were real in my life. And it took me a long time to work out that I could be free in Christ. And I learned to fake it for a long time. You say, yeah, whatever. Do you know, when I was in my 20s, into my early 30s, every time I preached at a large event, I'd have a massive throat infection. I was preaching at Spring Harvest the 2 days before, in the big top, I would all swell up. It would become infected. And I'd do this at other times. I'd go to Africa to preach and I would get all infected. And I always prayed about it. I'd always take oxymoron. I haven't said that right, have I? I'd always take oxycillin. But I take them, I used to take these so often that I'd rattle inside. Michelle would joke, where you preaching? I'm preaching at, this is a big event, Manifest in Northern Ireland. She'd joke and she'd say, you're going to get your antibiotics out then. So I just happened to overhear somebody talk about, if you got Masonic links, because of the news, family members can often suffer with throat complaints and strangulation and problems like this. Well, it's weird. So I just said to her, what do you think? She said, I don't know. I said, I've never really felt anything about this. Kind of like my granddad. And he's at that point, was the Grand Master of the Lodge. But I went, okay. So I just Googled and interneted something about Masonics. I didn't know really what it was about. And I said, okay, Shell, 2 hours, let's talk it through. We just went through, we prayed, we broke everything and everything. We went through it. I felt absolutely nothing. I took legal license, power, authority over the foothold of the enemy, even if it existed. I didn't know whether it did or not, or whether I was just like a virus boy, and it was going all the way through, and then I got to the point and I declared, and that was it, and we looked at each other and, oh, that was interesting. It was, wasn't it? Do you feel anything? Not really. And from this day to that, I've never had a throat problem in my life. You see, sometimes what we've got to learn to realize is that we don't even realize it when sometimes there are things you say, yeah, but you know, what about that? My granddad rejected Christ 50 years ago. He's now 89 years old. My dad, an atheist, such an atheist, phoned me up recently, a year ago, and said, I'm really struggling about Christianity and about Christmas. I'm wondering about, because I want to show atheistic integrity, not to buy the children presents for Christmas. I said, I want this. I said, what do you think, Phil? I said, I think you may choose to do that, but you won't be remembered for your atheistic integrity. You'll be remembered as the meanest grandfather on the face of the planet. So I'm doing all this ministry. We run 8 healing weekends so far. And about 18 months ago, I went, all right, then I'm talking about this. Is there more that I need to be free? So I just locked myself in the office for 2 hours again. And I said, well, my granddad has renounced Christ. He has not ever been touched by this. My dad's an atheist and has rejected all things to do with Christ. I'm going to lock myself in the office and I'm going to renounce and break everything connected to anything. And let's just see what happens, because I want to see their souls saved. So I locked myself in the office and I went through all of it. I Googled, I found this healing ministry, this list. I don't know what it was. It could have been. I just had a go at everything. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was preaching against poverty as a result of this and praying against this disbelief and saying that it has no authority, that my grandfather and my father will come to Christ because I have our dominion, because Christ has called us. It's your will, it's your heart. Break the power. So I returned to do my grandmother's funeral. Well, I came back in March for a visit to England, and in March, before Gran died, she looked at me, she said, am I going to heaven? She said, am I ready? 89 years old, and I said, well, you know that once you knew the gospel as a young girl, put your trust in Jesus. Are you doing that, Nan? Are we doing it? She said, yes, we're doing it. I walked into the area behind the house, and Granddad was in the conservatory. And he decided to cry, and he said, you know, I would like a Christian service when I die. I said, why? Something's happening. Promise me that you will give me a Christian service. Yeah, okay. And your gran, I'll fly you back. I said, okay. I said, Granddad, what's going on in your life? He said, I'm starting to feel something weird in me, that I'm coming back to the Christian faith. Gran dies in August. We'd fly back with the whole family to do the funeral. She's like a mother to me. She'd raise me. At the end of the time, Michelle had a word from the Lord and just looked at Granddad and said, can we pray for you now? He said, yes. The children gathered around. We stood around. We prayed and dedicated his life to Christ. And we didn't know what was going to be the fruit of that. My dad emailed me 3 weeks later. What's going on with your granddad? I said, I don't know. He's upset all the brothers. I said, why? He said, because he's renounced all Masonic connections. And he said, he's come back to his Christian faith. This is true. This is true. And I'm like, what's going on? And he's just there. And he's saying, I know, I believe. And I said, Dad, that's amazing. He said, yes, it's really upset the uncles. They are mad. I said, then he's not going to the lodge anymore. 89 years old. He's been in the lodge since his 30s. He's argued with me for generations until one day I applied the power of the cross to the situation and I broke the strongholds. Maybe it was time. I want to remind you, Christ can do this. Then my dad said, I had a chat with Jessica when she was back in England. I said, Jessica, yeah. She asked me why I wasn't a Christian. It's my 15-year-old. And not the one I expect to be the evangelist. But she is. And I said, ah. And she challenged me. I said, oh. And then he wrote, this was an email conversation. I believe that I may now becoming a closet Christian. I went, what are you talking about? Are you drunk? And because he likes his whiskey. Are you drunk? I believe I'm becoming a closet Christian. I said, Dad, I will print this and frame it on my wall. Can I print this and frame it? Is something happening within you? I said, I'll take closet Christian over no Christian. I'll take closet Christian over atheist Christian. I'll take that above all because we are seeing God do something. Have you forgotten? You see, the power and the authority of the freeing power of Christ is not for the specialist. It's not for the expert. It's not for those with the big manuals. It is for the Church of Christ. It is for you to be free and for them to be free. And we've forgotten that freedom in our lives. And my iPad keeps shutting down and I have to open it up again. Fire it up because I can do this. And that Masonic history. Second, we have to, what are the footholds in your life? You know, you don't need a prayer concert to work this out because you're living with them. They're holding you down and you need freedom. The second thing is be honest about what we let into our lives. What have you let in? See, when you let things into your lives, they will affect you. They will take hold of you. Oh, we all know the story of Balak, and he was all very upset because Israel was coming. God was moving. He wanted to lead the Moabites to victory. So he employed Balaam to come and to curse them and to work with them. You know the story. And he tries to curse them because he wants the money, and he tries to do this. And it's not happening, and he's failing, and it is the donkey, and he says to him, until finally he said, okay, there is one way that will bring the curse of God on them. And what was that way? Send the Moabite women into the camp and let the men sleep with the women. Because what you let into your life can pollute and bring a toxin into your spiritual authority. And they led the women in. And what happened? God's judgment came on them. Even though he had said, how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? We're not cursed. We're blessed. How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? The way that things start to unravel in our lives is by letting things into our lives that shouldn't be in our lives. Don't let the Moabites into your life. Whatever that is to you, whatever that means, soul. I was a young evangelist. 19, 20 years old, travelling all over South Wales, North Wales, preaching. John will remember these days. He was on Youth of Christ board. I was a Youth of Christ evangelist. I was preaching in exciting, exotic place like Merthyr Tydfil. And I was God, I was with a drama company. I was the young, powerful preacher. I was giving it. I was giving it. I was giving it. And I was giving it in every village, every town, every school, driving around in a yellow Toyota van that had carpet laid in the back of it so we could sleep before the days when there were laws and we could do anything. And I was lying in the back and I had a girlfriend. She was a nice girl. She was a good girl. And I'd be lying in the back of that van, young revival evangelist, thinking, what's she doing? I bet she's getting off with somebody. Oh, I bet she's doing it. And I was so full of jealousy, so full of bitterness, so full of anger, so full of this. I'd call her up. In those days, there weren't mobiles. I had to put 10 pences. I was saying, what you've been doing, who you've been with, what you've been going, controlling, horrible person. I might have been the cool evangelist with long flowing blonde hair, but I was twisted and bitter behind it and a nightmare to date and go out with. Have you met anybody like that? Maybe you married them. And at that moment, I laid in the bed and I thought, I am such, I hate this. I hate it so much. I hate the jealousy in my heart. I hate what it makes me. It makes me a vile person. I preach the freeing power of the gospel, but I'm a vile fake. And I asked the Lord a question. It's always dangerous. What is the lie and the root of this jealousy? The most important question you can ask. You don't need months. You just ask the question and let the Holy Spirit answer it. Because you know what the root is. It's just that you're not willing to take Jesus to the root. What's the root? And I got the answer. It kind of just shocked me. And the root, the Lord took me to the moment. I'm 12 years old. We live in a beautiful house. I went to private school, as you know, and I went to, there's nice cars parked outside. Dad was in a mental hospital because he had a nervous breakdown and depression. Mum had been holding the businesses together, and there was a friend of the family who had a steel company. He had a very nice gold Rolls Royce. I didn't really like him. But I know he came to visit it quite a lot while Dad was in hospital. And one night I climbed out onto the balcony and I walked across the balcony and I crept because I was always creeping and hiding and looking and not trusting anybody. And I looked over and I looked into a room and there was my mum with this man. And I knew, although it wasn't explicit, I knew exactly what was going on. She was having an affair. She was having an affair with Uncle David. I went, Dad won't like this, but I won't tell him. And then I believed a lie. If the one woman I love the most in the world is capable of betrayal, then everybody can betray. And I trust nobody. And at that moment, I looked up. And I said, God, take this away. And at that moment, I was no different. no different from the gothic Canadian girl with the cold heart in the basement of that hospital, because that moment a stronghold, a darkness flew off me and I was free. And I am the so not jealous man in whole of the world, that I've never had jealousy in my life. Even through the darkest and most challenging times of my walk, I can say that that moment in Merthyr Tydfil, in the back of a Toyota van, Christ set me free. He set me free. And it was in Merthyr Tydfil. If God can do it in South Wales, He can do it anywhere. I don't know, He uses Toyota. Hallelujah. Shag pile on the back, God did it. Our sins. We can be free, because what happens when you live with the bondages, you live with the strength, you live with this in our churches, we don't challenge our congregations, we don't deal with it at a board level, we're not willing to spend retreat times to deal with the junk and the damage and the garbage, we produce unhealthy churches. And I wish, oh how I wish I knew a lot of this stuff when I was pastoring in Britain. God had to take me to a conservative Mennonite church and break me and show me that the religious spirit can be broken, that sin can be crushed only through the power of the cross. He had to take me 6,000 miles away to remind me the work and the redemption in the cross of Christ. But you are here, and believe me, Britain needs this. And our sins, they dim our life. When we've got these lurking issues in our hearts, it dims the light of who we should be as church. But when we live as a healing church, a confessing church, a forgiving church, an honest church, a church where the leaders are willing to fess up first. Oh, I had to go back. I had to look at my whole life, and I did. I was locked myself in my office again for an afternoon. I've got big whiteboards for strategic management, but this time it was strategic management of my soul. And I listed the strongholds that I felt, and I went through the inventory cards, and I thought, what has affected me? What false lies? What things have affected me? There were lies in my heart that affected my belief in so many areas. People said to me, one, when I was 19 years old, they said to me, I preached the Spring Harvest, hundreds came forward, and they said, sat me down, global evangelical leaders sat me down and said, God has, you will be another Billy Graham, and you will be this, and you will be significant, and you will do this, and we want to manage your career so you peak at 50. And they never managed it. They all disappeared. But I believed a little bit of a lie that in somehow I was destined for celebrity greatness in the kingdom of God, which is a lie, because I am destined for the gift of servanthood, of mercy. My calling is not celebrity greatness. My calling is to preach the gospel and proclaim freedom to the captive and bring healing to a broken church. That's my destiny, the ministry of Jesus. And I looked at that, I thought, what is that person said to me? Why have I believed that? I was bold enough and mad enough to keep going at this and keep pressing in to the very man that was constructed by lies and deceit, and come out the other side free and willing to say, Christ is the healer. I'm just glad that I did it when I was 47. And not 86. At a pastor's conference. Because you carried the bitterness for all those years. Because it dims the power of the church. But I know this kind of ministry, I am more free. I'm brighter. You are brighter. We can be brighter. The church can be brighter. In every area. But we have to be willing to let Jesus in. Into those emotional wholeness areas, hurtful events created by lies. The scripture speaks about inner healing. Don't skirt around this. This world is more damaged than ever. We need a healing generation that lead people through need people simply to break legal license of the enemy over their lives. And it starts with us. You know, I'll gather every week. I gather with a group of pastors online. 10 of us have been mentored. We've done it for 2 years. And every time the question is, what's God speaking to you? What God's healing? We get together. We'll get together in January. We'll spend 3 days together. And we won't just talk. We won't talk strategy. We'll talk heart. We'll talk about our battles. We'll talk about our sin. We'll talk about what we need to confess, where we need freedom. And we may lead to the world's successful churches. But I tell you what, our churches are full of darkness and sin. You were right today. I've got men who are multimillionaires in my church who sleep with prostitutes all over North America. And you challenge them on it and they are angry. They won't engage. You call them on their sin and they're not willing to change. There is darkness. And Psalm 34 verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We live in an internet age, a pornography age. We live in an age of darkness. We live in an age of lies. We live in an age where people are believing root issues. And we've got to get back to this. But it's not the fringe that now does it. It's not the trip to the Ello Grange. God bless them. They've blazed the way. Brilliant. It's just very expensive. And we got to do this. It's not just about, it's about you. And me. Bringing in healing into the areas of our life. I've seen this with my staff. My core staff. I've got some beautiful staff members. See it with my worship pastor, who before he was saved lost a 9-year-old boy to cancer. We all went, oh, how's he going to cope with these healing weekends? The first weekend he went on, the Lord took him to a spot where he wanted to heal him. And we all thought, oh, it's going to be about his son. And he stood up, he said, I went on the healing weekend and I expected God would take me where you all think I was going to go, but I didn't go there. I went to a frozen lake when I walked across the lake with my dad to a car and I dropped some stuff and my dad looked at me. He picked up a spade and he shouted at me. He said, you are stupid and useless. And he said, although I'm a Juno winning award-winning musician. Although I've travelled across Canada and led one of the greatest, sorry about this, cowboy western bands, country music. And although I've done all of this, he said, I have always believed the lie that I'm really stupid and useless because my dad spoke those words into my life. I said, what happened? He said, he took me back to that moment and Jesus stood right there with me at that moment. And what did Jesus say to you, Curtis? Jesus said, you're not stupid and I love you. And I was there with you at that moment. And he said, at that moment, Christ freed me. 3 healing weekends later, after 9 months later, I've held 8 of these later, he stood up and he said, yeah, the Lord took me and my wife to when my boy passed into eternity at 9 years old. And I said to the Lord, what do you want to say to me about my son dying? Because when you're really starting to hear God, you can even ask the hard questions of God. Where were you in that pain? Where were you in that agony? Where were you then? Ask him. Where were you, Lord? What have you got to say? And he said, as tears ran down his face, with his wife, who are part of our prayer healing ministry team now, reached out and she saw a picture of Jesus holding his baby son. And Jesus said,
I gave him to the best parents in the world for 9 years. And now I've taken him back to myself. And they just wept. Because they knew he was always a gift. But they needed to be reminded. Those words may not work for you or I. But those words in the Spirit freed them. Freed them. Freed them. Inner healing. We are willing. God loves this. And it's not just the scars, the injuries from the past, the things we don't even expect. Inner healing, we ask Jesus to take us back to where the event took place and then ask Jesus to remove the false interpretation and the lies and replace them with truth. This is not new. Christine taught me this when I was 25. To break, to be. But I was foolish. I took it for myself. But it's for the body. It's for the body. It's for freedom. Now in the church, I'm starting to see groups of people gather at the end of a good service and God has spoken and they're pulling each other in twos and threes and they're talking to each other and saying, how's your week been? Oh, I've had a tough time. Do you want to do a bit of prayer and healing and confession? Yes. And little groups around the church and they're starting to do it. And Stacy and Shane are leading the way. And so we do this and prayer ministry has changed and it's spreading and they're saying, hey, can we link up? And I see little triplets all over the building at the end of the church. And they're saying, well, what do you need to confess? What needs to be break? What's been going the week? And they're suddenly living in a freedom that is amazing me. Now this is 80% of junk. There's the 20% that needs far more. But we don't even deal with the 80%. We don't even deal with that. I need to land this. And I need to remind you something that actually what it's about is about activating all that has been done on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 5. But he was pierced for my transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. It's either true or not. Jesus speaks truth into our woundedness where the lie is planted, thereby setting us free. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Oh yes. The truth is this. That all of that in our lives. That all of that junk, rubbish, pain. The lovely thing is that we don't just deal with it all at once. We allow the Spirit to show people what he wants to deal with at this time. We never counsel. We just name it. We take legal authority over it. We break the stronghold, the foothold, the lie, and we just apply the confession. You know that scripture it says, confess your sins to one another. That is the most never done scripture in the Bible. Do you know, I confess my sins to somebody now, to two or three people, weekly and monthly. I go to a brother who I go to and I'll confess. What do I confess? I confess the insecurity that other pastors are doing better than me. I confess the fact that I'm stressed out and worried about this problem. I confess deep things. And he reminds me just as the beautiful words. And if you don't want to understand this theology, just read the last chapter of A Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer on the power of forgiveness and healing. And you will discover that this is nothing new. It's part of who we were always meant to be. But we forgot the power of agreeing. We don't start an intercession session now. We don't start a prayer meeting. We don't engage in anything without allowing the Lord to heal our hearts before we minister to others.
I'm searching for a really good end to this sermon. Because I learned now, as good communicators, you've got to finish with a good end. But there is no good end except Jesus Christ has done it all. The cross, the power, the anointing. He set us free. And I don't know what you're going to be set free of tonight, but I know when I sat in that room and Simon comes in and he talks and talks and then he just goes, oh, I think the Lord's going to heal emotions and heal people tonight and set people free. And I'm just smiling to myself. Because one thing I've discovered about this man in this weekend, boy, he hears the voice of the Lord for certain gatherings. He hears the voice of the Lord. He's been bang on every time. But now it's time for the healing. You've had an hour's sermon. I usually only preach 35 in my church. These last three weekends, sorry guys, yeah. Beyond that, I can go a bit. But I'm trying to be. Trying to just get the word. Stop right now. Holy Spirit, come. You can be healed to be healing. You can step into this. This would take a massive, take a Friday and all day, Saturday. And at the end of our weekends, we just pray for everybody to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because what the Lord has swept out needs to be filled in again. So what's he going to do for you now? What's it going to be? Holy Spirit. Come and show us now. What foothold? What stronghold? What generational issue? What habit and action? You are going to highlight amongst us and heal us from now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what the Holy Spirit's saying to me. I don't do this at home. We do it slightly different in triplets. And we confess and we work through a sheet and we take authority and we bind and we loosen. But you are a different kind of people. I know you. I've had the privilege of serving you. You're my family. So as God points it out, I feel that little thing, that issue, doesn't matter what it is. We're not going to get, share it or speak it out or anything like that. Because God highlights that issue now. Where you are, stand. As God shows you what he's nailing. And this is where we're going to have the silence. We're going to wait a bit longer, but as you, those that have already got the word, now just, as you're standing in silence, just allow Spirit to come on you. Don't try and deal with it. Just focus on Christ. Focus on the cross.
may be others that you're still asking the Lord what he wants to just deal with in your life. And as you get it, just stand up and join in. I know I had to deal with a lot in terms of feeling isolated and hurt and pushed on the edge because of the way that the journey with Sean Hill went. And I had to bring all of that journey step by step to the Lord and hand over the disappointment. Although it was celebration, there was a necessity for me to let go of that, of the sense of bereavement of the church that I got saved in at 15 and led until I was 42, the only church I'd ever been part of, and suddenly I was an outsider. Maybe there's stuff in your church history, people now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you now to come and rest on every one of us. Come now in the power of the cross, the freeing power, the healing power, the deliverance power. Lord, we're going to welcome your forgiving power. Now take that issue. Softly where you are, start to pray to the Lord. Something like this. Let me just speak it first and you can hear it. It may be an emotion, it may be a person, it may be a situation, it may be a habit. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. In the power and the forgiveness of Christ. And I ask you to forgive me of this sin. And I ask you to break all the power connected and authority of this issue. And I declare that neither sin nor spirit, any work of darkness, any word spoken over me has authority in my life. And I ask you to forgive me for this issue. Just run that through in your mind now. Hold it up to the cross. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of the sin of. and I confess this sin to you. I confess this feeling, this habit, this emotion, this memory, this issue to you. And I declare that it has no legal authority over my life. And that if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Scripture says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive us our sins and our iniquities. Therefore, I ask you a question. As you have confessed your sins before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as you have confessed this issue before him, I ask you a question, and the answer by faith, speak it out if you feel able, as a yes. Do you receive the full power and authority and forgiveness bought through the power of the cross? Do you receive the forgiveness of God for this issue? Do you receive the forgiveness of God for this issue?
Yes.
Do you receive the forgiveness of God for this issue?
Yes.
And do you forgive yourself for the part within this issue?
Yes.
Do you forgive yourself? Therefore, I declare in the name of Christ Jesus that the enemy has no legal license over any of you in these areas in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I declare the authority of Christ that all power of sin in this named issue in your life is broken in the name of Jesus because of the cross. You are forgiven in Christ's name. Receive the forgiveness. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. Now realize this, and we speak that you are forgiven. And I speak now to any spirit, any demonic power that has attached itself to you through this issue, any bondage or foothold that has been attached to your life and to your spirit now, I simply speak to all the works, the lies, and the powers of darkness right now, and I command them in the name of Jesus to leave you in the name of Christ. All influence, all lies, anything that is connected to you, I just declare and I speak to those spirits, these spirits that may or may not be present, but I know are present. I command you to go in the name of Jesus, to the feet of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus and go to Jesus for him to do as he wills and his pleasure and his authority in Jesus' name. Go to Jesus Christ. Now, for a moment, receive the healing power of Christ, the Spirit to come and fill you now in that gap, in that issue. In his gentleness, in his love, come on. Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You are clean. You are forgiven. You are clean. The blood of the Lamb takes away the sins of the world. Christ has broken every curse of this world. You are free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, it's not finished. Stop. And ask the Lord, in this issue, is there anything else you want to show me about this issue that takes it deeper? In this issue, is there a lie that I've believed? What is the lie? It's time to deal with the lie. We've dealt with the sin. Deal with the lie. Or is there a curse that I've received through words spoken? Somebody's spoken it and cursed you. It's put you into chains because of the way you were spoken to. So just pause. Holy Spirit, come now. Come now. And go, take us to a level deeper. What's the lie? What's the curse? What else do you want to reveal now? Pray again. As the Spirit has whispered to you the lie or the curse, or something that is shown you deeper, just where you are, if that's you, just in a sense, just raise your hand up to heaven now. So I know that I am praying for people that are going a step deeper. Okay. So you know a lie. A curse. You've identified something in you that takes you deeper, and the Lord has shown you something other to that. So for a moment in your spirit, just confess that again to yourself. Just confess it to Christ. Okay. A question. Scriptures declare that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of all our iniquities, of all of our sins. Do you receive the forgiveness of Christ for what Christ has shown you? Do you receive His forgiveness?
Yes.
And do you forgive yourself?
Yes.
Then receive the freedom of Christ. Only the work of Christ. And therefore I pray for you now, in the name of Jesus, that wherever there has been a lie spoken, we speak to that lie and we break the lie in the name of Jesus. And we command that that lie has no authority. That lie that was spoken at the very core of who you are, we break it as a stronghold in the name of Jesus.
Lie, you have no authority right now. And in the name of Jesus, the word spoken over you as a curse, as something that's landed on you that has bound you up, in the name of Jesus, I declare, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. No words have authority over you. No man has authority over you apart from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of Christ and Scripture in your life. All words of man are broken now in the name of Jesus. And anything at a deeper level connected to the powers of darkness, spirits that have been at work, strongholds that have been present, we just declare that all work of the enemy, all spirits, be rebuked in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke you and we send you to Christ to do for him to do as he wills and he's pleased in his sovereignty and power in Jesus' name. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So you've gone a step deeper now. So just pause. Hallelujah. 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 Just as we never do it like this. It's always in small groups. It's always, it's the same principle. But I can see that God is freeing you. I can see that God is at work. He's showing you things. And now if you sense just the forgiving, releasing, lovely freedom of Christ, we're just going to start to worship. And as we just start to worship, the word I had was that you will receive healing. Start to see it again. And then I just want to lay hands on anybody that wants to step again into the freedom of healing. And that you will be just touched and filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So as we start to worship, and I know that Shane and Stacey are here with me, and Carl and other leaders, and Mark, I'm going to ask them to come, and James. And just as you come forward, we're going to pray for you that you would be released into healing and the freshness of freedom, and that you would be just touched by the power of the Holy Spirit for this next season in your life. That you not only receive healing, but this will birth something in you that you will carry healing and forgiveness, and you'll never be the same again. Because once you start on this journey, it's not a one-off deal. It's a practice that we do every day of our life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So come on. Come on to the front if you want, and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that concludes our live session here from Swanwick in Derbyshire, and we want to thank you for listening and for tuning in with us. We're going to switch over to our broadcast server. So if you're listening through one of our South Dakota repeaters.